care and that kind of thing. Emily was going to share, and I think we still want to do that at some point, but given the circumstances of the week and things that have happened, and in Jeff's passing, we decided we probably just need to kind of talk about that and deal with that. Like I said, this won't necessarily be the memorial service. This isn't a funeral, but I did want to address some things. Ever since the news came around and we knew what was going on, what had happened anyway, there's been, you know, I've run into all kinds of responses and reactions from folks. And even in myself, I've gone through some of these different emotions. People have felt overwhelming sadness at times and have just cried and cried. Some people have felt angry, you know, that this happened, that he did this, or whatever. They felt angry. Angry at Jeff, or angry at God, or angry at somebody, or just angry. People felt guilty. You know, how come I didn't, did I miss something? Should I have seen something? Should I have known? And, I wish I hadn't said thus and so, or I wish I had responded in a different way at some point, or took him up on his offer, or something. You know, different people have had different types of feelings that way. There's been a lot of confusion, a lot of wondering why, a lot of I can't believe it, a lot of sense of really, no way, this can't be, Lord, let it be something else, and there's a lot of that kind of sense. There's that pit in the stomach kind of feeling. There's that feeling of dread. And sometimes you can even feel a sense of relief, depending on your situation or what you knew about Jeff. I kind of want to just address some of this a little bit. I guess I would say, when I was thinking about, Lord, what do I share with everybody? You know, what do I preach on? And I had a very definite sense that God said, don't worry about it. You know, just don't worry about it, just go. And so, of course, me being who I am, I sat down and started working on a message. And said, I can't just go in with nothing. But I just felt like, you know, the Lord wants to do something here. Some things I would say about suicide. Because that's what we're talking about. There's a difference between risk factors and warning signs. Risk factors have to do with things that may exist in your life that may increase the statistical potential for the possibility of suicide. Okay? So risk factors have to do with life stressors and disposition and history and these kinds of things that may exist in a person's life that increases that possibility statistically. Warning signs are more of statements or signals or invitations. They don't have to be verbal, but something that a person may put out there saying, I'm inviting you to notice and to see that I'm in a bad way and I'm thinking about doing this. They might talk about death. They might talk about suicide a lot. There might be all kinds of things that are warning signs that something is a little more imminent, and they're thinking about it or planning on it, or maybe have made the decision. And I guess I would just say this. I've been through suicide prevention training, have provided suicide prevention training. I visited with Jeff over the weekend, and we were talking about, he was talking about things about the future, you know, plans that he was going to do, that he was looking into, possibilities of job situations and things like that. I didn't pick up anything that would have told me that he was checking out or something like that. I didn't run into anything like that. The guards chaplain, very gentle and very compassionate and sensitive man, he spent an hour with Jeff on Tuesday. They spent a lot of time together. And he's been through many of the same training that I've been through. He's been through the assist training and things like that. And he said Jeff was just kind of on an even keel, and we didn't talk about, you know, he didn't seem to be feeling particularly distressed, and he didn't see any signs either. So I'm just saying that to say, if you're feeling guilty, the trained professionals didn't see, okay? And so don't take that on yourself. It's like, if you're feeling like, boy, I should have done thus and so, or I should have seen something, it's like, you know, we just didn't see it. Either it was planned in advance and just didn't want anybody to know and didn't put out any invitations, or it was more of a last minute thing. I would say that in that difference between risk factors and warning signs, Jeff had a lot of risk factors, okay? He dealt with a lot of depression, some of it pretty severe. A lot of stressors in life, a lot of worries and concerns. He had, and maybe the way he carried them, I don't know, but he had a lot of circumstances or inner situations. You know, Iraq, he's seen a lot of things there. And so there were some risk factors. And so that's why some people, when we called and told the news, they knew Jeff. They know Jeff is this kind man, a warm smile, would do anything for you, took a genuine interest in you and knew your family and would ask about your kids and things like that. And a very servant heart, and a solid believer in Christ. Loved Jesus very, very much. Loves his family. And so, knowing that much, it comes as a shock. And it's like, no way. This could not be. Some of you knew more of what the risk factors were in his life. And you knew some of that. And you've had maybe some long, deep conversations with Jeff. And so you knew a little bit about the things he carried. And so the other response that we've gotten, that when they were told that he was missing, the first thing that came to their mind was, oh, I wonder if this is what happened. Some things I would say to do or not do, okay, in the process of all this. As first of all, if you have heard the method or learned of it or wondered about it, I would say don't dwell on the morbid details. Don't try to imagine the whole scenario that went on. That's just not healthy. Okay, don't go there. Don't torture yourself with that, and that's not going to help you. Okay, so don't dwell on that, because that can become a very morbid mindset. Another thing I would really want to caution you against is don't play the blame game. In feeling angry that this happened, it can become easy to start finding targets to blame. Who's to blame? Starting with yourself. You might blame yourself for something. But there might be a person or an institution that you decide that had a hand in all of this. And so it's easy to go into the blame game. And I really do not want a church united against something, a church united against a person or an institution. We have one enemy, and that enemy is death. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed will be death itself. Jesus Christ has secured it, has made it a definite thing, and Revelation talks about death and the grave both being thrown into the lake of fire, and there will be no more death one day. Death and the spiritual forces of evil are our enemy. There's no person or institution. So let's not fall into that. One thing I would say is please don't pull back into yourself. Don't just pull into yourself. You know, especially if you yourself have struggled with depression. I mean, it is very, very widespread. It's very, in counseling and psychology, they call it the common cold of mental illness. You know, not that you're crazy or anything like that. It's just, it's such a common condition to be depressed or experience depression. It's very, I don't know if normal is the right word, but it's very common. And and the temptation in a situation like this is to say, well, you know, look where Jeff was and look what happened, and maybe there isn't any hope and I'll just pull into myself. It's like, don't go there, please. Talk to people. Visit with people. Share with people. Be with people. Let people pray for you and with you. Okay? Talk it out. I know you may not feel like you're much of a talker, but this is something that you got to find words for. Okay? Find words for it and visit with one another and keep it out there. And just face the fact, you know, yes, this happened. Now let's talk about how we're feeling about it. Okay? So don't pull back into yourself and don't embrace hopelessness. Don't go into a dark place where you feel like, well, this kind, God-loving man, you know, if this happened to him, then maybe there isn't any hope. Don't go there. Okay? You would not have chosen this for him. Another thing I would say is please don't judge other people's responses. Okay? Don't judge other. There's all kinds of ways that we will deal with grief. There's all kinds of emotions that you would go through. And I listed a whole bunch of them. It might be that you'll go to the funeral this week on Tuesday, and you'll get there a little bit early. And somebody will be playing some prelude music, and you'll see a bunch of us going in. You'll see a whole bunch of soldiers there. And you might see little groups of people kind of standing around, and all of a sudden they burst into laughter. And you might be thinking to yourself, how in the world could you be laughing at a time like this? Don't you understand what happened? And you need to understand that people are at different places in their grief, and everybody deals with grief in a different way. And so even, you know, it might be that they were remembering some funny thing that happened with Jeff. And that's an honoring thing, remembering his life and some good times. And so why wouldn't you laugh? You laughed with him. It might be something even more mundane. Something funny happened on the way over to the armory. And they're telling about it, and they're laughing about it. Don't just all of a sudden decide, well, you're being insensitive. or judging other people for their grief responses. Some people may be very angry. Some people might violate my rules and be playing the blame game and just be very angry. And it's like, you know, they need to process their grief as well. And so let's not sit in judgment of how anybody else does this. Some people may be very tearful, and other people, just no tears ever come. Some people may feel relief because they knew of the risk factors that he was dealing with, like on an ongoing basis in his heart. And so there may be a feeling of relief. Well, it's like, how can you feel that way when this is the way he went? And it's like, you know, it's kind of normal. Some things I would say to do. Please do pray for each other. And I know you have been. But I want you to take a step further. Pray with each other and pray for each other and pray with each other. Get on the phone and pray together. Yesterday we had the craft bazaar. And, you know, and I don't know if we made any money at all on that. I don't really care. But one of the biggest things is that every Word of Hopian who came in, you know, it was kind of a time to connect. And so people were at the craft bazaar, were just kind of praying in little groups or in pairs around the area. I imagine people from the community who were just coming for a craft bazaar were wondering what in the world is going on. I thought this was a craft bazaar, not a prayer meeting, you know. And so, you know, that's healthy. And that's good. I want to see us pull together, not splinter apart. I want to see us pull together and support one another. This is an opportunity to really pray with each other and for each other. And I know sometimes we feel like, well, I'm the one who needs to be reached out to. And so why isn't anybody reaching out to me? And I pray that happens and that somebody does reach out to you. But maybe you need to think about, well, maybe I should try reaching out to somebody else and have my needs ministered to at the same time. Pray with each other and give comfort. Liz shared the verse, and in the email, the verse from 2 Corinthians says, "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." This is how Paul identifies him. He's the Father of compassion. He's the God of all comfort. He says, this God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And so when we connect with God, when we're in tune with Him, when we abide in Him, when we plug into Him, His Spirit gives comfort to us. And we become receivers of His comfort, of His compassion, of His encouragement. And then He says, then be a conduit of my comfort to others. Then be a channel of my comfort to one another and bring comfort to other people. And it might be that the comfort that you have received from God, you receive from another conduit, another person. Okay? Says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you are sharing in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. You may wonder, you know, well, what do I say? I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say to the family. I don't know what to say to this person who is very close to Jeff and is feeling this very deeply. I would say it doesn't have to be much. Okay? Just, I love you. Love Jeff. I miss him. Is there any way I can help? Do you need anything? Can I pray for you? I am praying for you. Let me know if there's anything I can do. I'll check in with you later again. Okay? It can be very simple. You don't have to promise the world to them. But just a sense that they're not in it alone. Okay? That's the most important thing. I'm here. You're not in this alone. We're all kind of in this together. You know, we're all now kind of survivors. And we're all experiencing this together, and we need to go through it together. Serve practically. Please do. There's email going around about food. I know in the future, in coming weeks and months, there's going to be needs. I know that there were projects around the house that Jeff was needing to get to, or there was a water leak at one time from the water heater, and they got the water heater replaced, but some of the damage, you know, hadn't been fixed. There's an attic that needs to be cleaned out. You know, it's just going to be things like that that I don't think that Monica and Ross and Jenna will be able to handle all on their own. And so just keep that in mind, and keep them in mind as the months go on, that there's going to be things. There's going to be a lot of firsts. First Thanksgiving without Jeff. First Christmas without Jeff. Things like that. And so this year is going to be really, really tough for the family, and all of us. And so keep them in mind throughout the year, and find practical ways to serve. And then Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Work toward forgiveness. If that's an issue that you're dealing with, please work toward forgiveness. I want to say just one more thing before I have you just pray for each other. And that is, some are feeling feelings of dread. And that's a feeling of, well, where is he now? That was the first question Ross asked me when he found out, where's my dad? And some people, I'll just tell you a little of my theology here. Some people have a theology that says, well, in order to go to heaven, you need to ask for forgiveness for your sins. You need to repent and ask for forgiveness for your sins. That's true. Okay, then they'd say, the Bible says that murder is a sin. That's true. If you take your own life, you're taking a life. That's a murder. Okay? And when you do that, then you have no chance to ask for forgiveness because you're dead. You have no chance to repent. And so now you've gone into eternity with unforgiven sin. And you can't go to heaven. Now, I know there's some groups that teach that, and that's their view, and it isn't mine. I don't think it's that mechanical. I don't think spirituality is really that temporal, time-driven, mechanistic kind of thing. I think the grace of God is bigger than that. I think God's a merciful, loving God. He is just, and no, this is not the answer, and I wish Jeff would have done something different, okay? I'll be honest with you, but I am not comfortable saying, well, he's automatically in hell. I don't necessarily believe that, okay? And so, there you go. I'm not going to preach anybody into heaven. What I would say is that we can trust God. We can trust God. We can trust God to do the right thing, to do the right thing by Jeff. We can trust God to know his mental state, his heart state, and all of this, and the combination thereof. We can trust God to divide all that out and to figure it all out. God's a good God, and he is all-knowing, and he is just, and he's merciful. He's gracious. Okay? So let's leave him in God's hands and trust God with him. This is what I'd like you to do. I just want you to get into groups of three or four, if you would, and just do this thing where you pray for each other. Okay? Maybe one or two people can just kind of lead it. And this isn't something we normally do in church, but this is kind of a special situation. And really, if you're here, I consider you family, so we can pray together, okay? So find a small group. Go ahead and stand up and move across or whatever you need to do to get into a group of three or four and just, you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, however you want to do this, and just pray with each other, okay? Good job, church. Thanks for being the church. Whenever I see the church being the church, you know, loving each other, serving each other, praying with each other, going out and loving people who hate them, I just feel like saying, good job, church. One more thing. I was visiting with one of our members at the thing yesterday at the Craft Bazaar. And she said something to me that I just thought was really good. She says, you know, I've decided in my heart that I'm going to remember Jeff for the person I knew him as. You know, this kind, gentle, giving, selfless kind of man. Loved people, cared about you. And that's what I'm going to remember about Jeff. I'm not going to think about, you know, how he died. I'm not going to let that overshadow the fact that he was a very gracious man, you know. And so that's what I'm going to choose to remember. And I think that's good. I think that's very honoring. I think if we could ask Jeff, that's what he'd say. Yeah, please, you know, remember that. And Ross actually came out and said, I don't want our, you know, my dad's funeral to be really sad about him and what happened. So, in fact, I want everybody to wear bright colors. This was Ross's request. He says, I want everybody to wear bright colors. I think the whole homeschool association is taking that to heart. And I don't see why we couldn't either. I've got a red shirt that almost glows in the dark. I think I'll wear that. And we're going to focus on, at the service, I've been just praying about this and appreciate continued prayers. The chaplain and I are going to share the officiating of the service, but I'll have the message. And I think we're going to focus on the fact that in Christ, death is defeated. You know, that's the last enemy, and he is defeating it. But that also, just celebrating Jeff's life. What an awesome man he was, an example to us. Not that we want to take that course, and that was the solution. But like I said, frame of mind and things like that, we don't know. We trust God with all that. Okay? All right. Let's stand, pray, band. Let's come up and close out our service. Is it really 20 to 12? Trying to catch up. Father God, we do thank you for Jeff's life. And we thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you, Lord, that we can connect to the body of Christ, pull together, and go and know that you are with us and that through your church you're with us, that we can be with each other. And so we pray, Father, that you would teach us, Lord, that whole family principle of being with and praying for and with and serving one another. And so we pray, God, that you would bring comfort and strength and encouragement and see us through these next many weeks, days, months where this is going to sting and where there's going to be questions and there's going to be stuff to do. Help us, Father, with all of that. We trust you with it in Jesus' name. Amen.